Well, God bless you, and I want to thank Steve for giving me the opportunity and privilege to teach God's Word today. And if you will, please open up your Bibles to, I want to start making little alterations here, to 1 John chapter 3. Steve has asked me to teach on our ministry of reconciliation, and that's what I will be doing today. But I'd like to start first here in 1 John, and it says in verse 1, it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of who?"
God.
We're the sons of God. And it's because of that manner of love that God bestowed upon us that we are the sons of God and that we have the audacity to even say that. "Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not." Verse 2, "Beloved," or "beloved." How do you say that correctly? Is it beloved? That's like so wedding-like, you know. But "beloved," we are the beloved of God. It says, "Beloved," when?
Now.
It is 4:26:32 seconds. Now, right now, are we the sons of God? It's right now. Right now. Yeah, and I love that. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear," and he shall, "we shall be like him, for we shall see him how?" Yeah. Beloved, right now are we the sons of God. Yesterday is gone. That second that just happened, that's gone. Right now, we're sons of God. So I wanted to get that in there. Now I'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Right now, you're a son of God. You're not a sinner. Right now, you're a son of God. You're not dead. You're quickened with Christ. Right now. Right now. Sons of God. Yeah. It was a boxing match last night. And the guy I kind of was rooting for won. But you know why I dig him? You know what his, like, you know how boxers have Lance the Meat Eater Arrington, you know, or whatever. His name is SOG, and it stands for Son of God. Yeah, so his name is Andre Ward. I don't know what he believes, but sounds kind of cool. But we are sons of God when?
Yeah.
Aha. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I guess I'll add a little more political rhetoric. Verse 2, it says, verse 1, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications," which is a specific request, "prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for how many? For all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority." For kings and for all that are... We here in our United States of America, it's not a monarchy, it's a republic, right? Thank God we don't have King Obama, it's President Barack Obama right now, but it's talking about prayer and specific requests and thanksgiving for kings, for the rulers, for all that are in what? Why? "That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all" what?
Honesty.
That we are supposed to pray for whomever is our leader of our countries, wherever they are, so that we can live a life of godliness without interruption, so that we can do this right here, right here. That's why. So I just wanted to say that. That's important. You know, so pray for Obama. He's still in office. He's still there. It's not over. Pray for him. And pray for the president-elect as well. That's what God's word said. You don't like it? There's a manager you can go talk to about that, all right? It ain't me. I swear I didn't sneak in your house and start writing in your Bibles last night. It is already there, okay? Verse 3. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of" who? "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." It is absolutely God's will that all, and that all men is all inclusive, men, women, children, boys, girls, that all men are to be saved. It's absolutely God's will. And to come into the knowledge of the truth. It's God's will that all men get saved, born again, receive salvation, be part of God's family, be heaven bound. And to come into the knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? The word of God. God's word. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That was Jesus Christ's prayer to God for his people, his followers. Yeah. So the word of God is truth. And it's God's passion. It's God's desire. It's his will. He really, really, really wants everybody to be saved and to come into a knowledge of the truth. That is, how good is God? How good is God? That is just kind, kind, kind. And people spit on God. They blaspheme. They talk all kind of crap about God. Yet, our great God, our Father, desires for all to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, for there is one. How many?
One.
One God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Yeah. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Keep your hand here. Go to John chapter 14. Who's there? Who's that? I need glasses, y'all. Steph? Steph? Read, get it, come on. John 14, verse 6. Say it loud. You're like you're black and you're proud. Go ahead. Yes.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Yeah. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's pretty arrogant, right? No, that's the truth. That's the truth. There is no other way. Yeah, what does it say in Acts? Turn to Acts chapter 4. Who's there? Acts chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 10. I'm taking this one. I'm sorry, bro. Verse 10, it says, come on, let's go, people. Y'all there? Y'all there?
Yeah.
All right. Be it known unto you all, and to all, verse 10, all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from where? Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. They had just healed a man who had never walked, you know, was lame from his mommy's womb. He got healed in the name of Jesus Christ, Peter and John. They said, look on us. Silver and gold have a number, such I have a, you know, right? Right, verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be what?
Saved.
There's no other name. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. That's it. You ain't wrong for believing that. You ain't wrong. And you ain't wrong for saying it. You ain't wrong. Because God is right. Romans chapter 5. I told you to keep your hand in, right? But don't worry about it. Go to Romans 5. Romans 5. It works. It works. That was you, Elky, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Will you read 6 through 8, please? Yeah, stand, please. Stand, please.
Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is talking past tense. Because right now, guess what? We are what? Oh, come on. I got to start the teaching all over again. Sons of God. Right now, right? Lord, man, I got to go back to 1 John. What's wrong with y'all? Yeah. But back then, verse 8, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we were even born, Christ did that. How good and how kind is God? Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his, by Christ's blood, we shall absolutely be saved from the wrath through him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God's word says that we were enemies. What does it say? That's what it says for verse 10. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Yeah. We were enemies. We were sinners. You know, Ephesians says that we were dead in sins, right? I wonder sometimes if we believe that. I wonder, because sometimes the way I see believers perceive people who have not confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead, I think that they esteem them so high. God's word says that we were enemies, that we were dead, that we were sinners, enemies of God. That's what the word says. I swear I didn't go and sneak in your house and write it in your Bibles. I swear. It's true. But in verse 8, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know? Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now, it is currently 4:38:03, okay? Right now, we receive the atonement or the reconciliation. We're the at-one-ment. That's nice. I like that definition. The at-one-ment. We're at one with God because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. We're at one with God. We were something else. But right now, once we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in the hearts of God raised him from the dead, at one with God. How about that? We have been reconciled to God by his son, Jesus Christ. The word of God was spoken to us, which declared who Jesus Christ was and what he accomplished. And guess what we did? We believed it. We accepted it. That's all we did. We accepted it. We confessed Jesus Christ, Lord. We changed lords. And we accepted what God wrought in Christ. And we were brought back together with God through his son. The word reconcile means to bring back together that which has been separated. That's what it means. And God reconciled us to him through his son. You see that? Am I making that up? You sure? Okay, good. Tell me. Yeah. Let's go to Second Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hi, Sandra. You're so wonderful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and in verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all what?
Dead.
I see. I, you see it, right? Dead, right? Do we believe that? I hope so. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after what? Yea, though we have known Christ after flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in who?
Christ.
He is a new creature or a creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what?
New.
It's a new deal, baby. Yesterday is then. This is now. Right now. Right now. You don't think that you have the right to speak God's word? Yeah, you do. Because God's given you the right. We'll see that. You don't think that you're righteous? Yeah, I hear you. You got a lot of, you could count up all the stuff you've done wrong or whatever. But Jesus Christ's blood was shed for our sins. Dean said that he was the propitiation for our sins, the full payment for our sins. They've been paid for. It's all been covered. We've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. Yeah. All things are become new. You know, that was then, this is now, as I like to say in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled. There it is. God brought us back to him after we were separated because of Adam's sin. God hath reconciled us to himself by who? And hath given to who?
Us.
The ministry of reconciliation. Wepa. Let's read that. Read it with me, y'all. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
Of what?
Reconciliation.
Ah, baby. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. It's pretty cool. That's right. Nick just shared on our service, you know, our service to God and serving people God's word, among other things. But God has given us the ministry of reconciliation specifically. Our responsibility before God is to bring people back to God by way of his word, which makes known Christ. Verse 19, to wit, or to know that God was where?
In Christ.
Reconciling the world unto himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. What's imputing mean? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Wasn't taking a tally of their trespasses unto them. And hath committed unto us what?
The word
of reconciliation. So God's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And in here it says he's committed unto us the word of what? Man. We have the ministry of reconciliation, and we've been committed from God the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin, or a sin offering for us, who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's pretty fascinating. The ministry of reconciliation is our privilege. It is our ministry to bring people back to God via the word, by speaking about Jesus Christ and what God has done in Christ. We bring people to Christ by the word of God. So it's our privilege, and it's our responsibility, and it's our right as sons or daughters of God to speak God's word. I'll say that again. It's our responsibility and privilege, and it's our right as a son or daughter of God to speak God's word. In Philippians chapter 2, And in verse 15, it says, that ye be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Didn't we read that already?
Yeah.
That's right, girl. Without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or age, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yeah. This world is crazy. This world is nuts. This world is, for the most part, is almost entirely against God, the way of God, and especially his Christ. But we shine as lights in this crooked and filthy and perverse world. God even said it in the manifestations. He said it in the manifestations. We shine as lights as we hold forth this word of God. Yeah. The word lights here is an interesting word. It's the word lights means luminaries or stars. It does. You can look it up this way. It means lights or stars. Yeah. We shine as lights or stars. Not Angelina Jolie. Not Kim Kardashian. Not George Clooney. No Clooney. I'm sorry. We shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, in this dark world. Where does it go? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Who's there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read. Sorry. Did I say 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Where's it? Chapter 4. Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, guess who it's hid to? To them that are lost are perishing. Yeah. If our gospel be hid or veiled, something covering it, it's not hid to God, it's hid to them that are perishing. And that's the world. This world is sick. It's dying. Yeah. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Do we believe that anymore? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. I ain't preaching Lance. Lance could barely wake up before 8 o'clock. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus who? Yeah. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of where? Has shined where? To give the light, the radiance of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yeah. The face of Jesus Christ means through the work of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of who? Yeah. So speak the word. Speak the word. You have the right to. God's given you the ministry of reconciliation to bring people back to God. Both saved and unsaved, believe it or not. Believe it. Yeah, God's given you that right. Where are they? Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Do you have the right to pray?
Yes.
Do you have the right to speak in tongues?
Yes.
Do you have the right to study God's word? Do you have the right to heal people?
Yes.
Do you have the right to speak God's word?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Bet you a bubble, baby. That's right. What did I say to go? Yeah, Romans 10. Sorry. Verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer. This is Paul speaking by revelation, but this is his heart, right? Yeah. So, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what?
Saved.
Oh my goodness. Paul had people he wanted to speak the word to and get them born again. Have you ever known someone that you want to speak the word to? Huh? Well, you're not the only one. See, it happens. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to what?
Knowledge.
For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So many times Dean said it. In Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's the first part. But I want to talk about that. It's changing lordship. Sometimes people don't want to change lords. Some people ain't trying to do that. It happens. It's not your fault. It's okay. What are you going to do? That's what happened here. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of law for righteousness to everyone that does what?
Believe.
Yeah. Verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith or believing, which we preach. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that means to agree that he's Lord, that he's the master, that he's the boss, that he lived life perfectly, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath what? Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what?
Salvation.
For the scripture saith, and I love this. This is why you want to have some confidence in speaking God's word.
Yeah.
Here you go. If number one, it ain't your word. Ain't that nice? It's not your word. It's God's. Look at this. Verse 11. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Go speak the word. Let them all know. You don't got to worry about God disappointing. He's not going to come up short. God's not going to come up short. He's faithful. He's reliable. He's the stability of our times. God is. And that's what we talk to people about. That's what we tell them about. That's what we can say. Man, there's nothing to be ashamed of. You ain't going to be disappointed in what you expect from God. He's faithful. He can't lie, as we heard earlier today. He can't lie. You ain't got to be ashamed or scared to speak the word. The word of God is true. Everything else is whatever. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is all rich unto all of them. Verse 13, for whosoever, there's a big invitation. Anyone ever paid for a wedding in here? Could you imagine? That'd be a grudging invitation, boy. You would pray, Lord, please don't let these people from Jersey City show up. But not God. Look at that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall. Let me hear you say
shall.
Be saved. How about that? Whosoever shall be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It is absolutely God's word, God's will, his passion, and his desire for you to speak God's word. It is absolutely his will. It is your right. If someone tells you, what do you have the right to do? God gave me the right. Sorry, buddy. Happy Hanukkah. God gave me the right. It's a sonship right. Just as righteousness is, your ability to stand before God without any consciousness of sin, guilt, shortcoming. Your ability to stand in the presence of God, is this, you got that right. And you have the right to speak God's word. They don't like it? Blame God. You know what? People oppose themselves. People love darkness more than light, it says in God's word. Jesus Christ said, I didn't write it. That's right. People love darkness more than light. That is why people reject God's word, not because of your delivery. People love darkness. You know, I personally have a thing with speaking God's word. It's tough for me sometimes. I'm going to be honest with you. Can we talk?
Yeah.
I grew up in church and stuff, choir, 15 times a week, Bibles, you know, interrupting football games on Sunday. That's the whole deal. Dressing all the time. Oh, I wear a jacket and tie 5 days a week at school. Now I got to get crazily dressed and Sunday, you know, it's a black church, you know. And then, you know, and I've been exposed and I have relatives that are more holy than the other ones. All this kind of craziness. Just religion. Just a bunch of religion. And when I got born again, when I got into this word, I never wanted to be perceived by anyone to be anything like that. And sometimes that's my own little stumbling thing. I get so crazy. I remember one time we went out witnessing and there were these guys standing in the corner drinking beer. So I grabbed one of the beers just to show that I'm not religious. I did. They were receptive a little bit. I don't know if that was the smartest thing, but yeah, I did. You know? So that's my thing. But you know what? I kind of get that out of my mind and just hold forth God's word. And that's what gets people saved. And that's what gets people born again. And that's what helps change people is the word, not you, not necessarily your experiences. Although those can open up somebody's ears. You know, I was sick and I prayed and God healed me. Really? God listens to you? Yeah, he cares. And you know what? He cares about you. So ultimately, we want to speak God's word. We want to speak Christ. And especially the resurrection. If you look in the book of Acts, what they spoke was the resurrection. They spoke a lot of stuff, you know, about the history and all the stuff that was coming up until Christ, but ultimately got to the resurrection. So if you want to speak God's word, you need to go to that resurrection. You tell people that he is risen. That is He's the only one. That's the thing that separates Jesus Christ from every other man and woman that's ever lived, is that God raised him up from the dead to never see death again. It's fantastic. And we were raised with him. So much, so little time. What are you going to do? So I was going to share some things about boldness. But what gives you the boldness is that you know you're doing God's will. You also know that you can stand before a God without feeling like a piece of something. And therefore, you can speak God's word with boldness. Yeah. I want to close in Acts chapter 26. And I'll give you a little backdrop. The great apostle Paul got arrested. Yeah, he did a few times. But this is the last time. Great Apostle Paul, God warned him several times, told him not to go to Jerusalem, but like we read in Romans chapter 10, his heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. He really wanted them to get these people to get saved. He did. Like, he loved these people. That was his nation. I get it a little bit, you know? But he disobeyed God, and God had made several attempts to get him to obey him by prophets, by people walking by the Spirit, and even he knew on his own. But his mind was made up. You ever been there before? Get honest. Anyway. But the ramifications for that was he ended up in prison. Well, while he was in the Bible lands, which was at the time was a Roman territory. Roman territory. And they wanted to bring him, have like court or whatever, try him amongst the Judean leadership, and he appealed to Caesar. And God told him that he didn't have to worry about anything, but that he was actually going to stand before Caesar. It's pretty wild. And so we pick up here before he goes on his voyage to Europe. He's before King Agrippa, who's actually the great-grandson of Herod, the guy who was around during Jesus Christ's time. So we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy." I'm pretty happy about this, that I get to represent myself, "King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me how." Yeah, so this King Agrippa grew up under Herod, and it's very likely that he grew up in the Jews' religion. That's why he's saying, you know all these questions and stuff. Verse 5, "which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived as what?" That's right. And the Pharisees believed in, guess what? The resurrection. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Verse 6, "and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you or anybody else that God should raise what?" Yes. What? Why? Why is that a big deal? He's God, as Dean mentioned. That's right, in Cooper Union. Why is it a big deal? It's God. Verse 9, "I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from who?
Chief priests.
And when they were put to death, I gave my vote or my voice or my vote against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. He got believers to blaspheme the name of God and this Jesus Christ thing. That's how anti this way, this Jesus Christ thing he was. "And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way of a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Oh boy. Verse 15, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." He was persecuting the people, but the people were, who do they belong to? That's right. Verse 16, "But rise," this is Jesus speaking to Paul, "and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." And why is he sending them? And here it is, verse 18. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to what?" Do we think that people who aren't born again of God's spirit are in light or in darkness? Huh? You think that people who aren't born again are in the light? Darkness, right? Is that what it says? Okay. "And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive," lambano, "forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are saints," or sanctified, "by believing that is in me." Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and the city of Gentile, blah, 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 blah. Let's go down to verse. We'll start in verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from where? And should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside yourself. You crazy, man. Shut up. Much learning doth make thee mad. Verse 25. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner, King Agrippa. Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, check this out, it's the king Agrippa. Almost thou persuadest me to be what? He opened his mouth. Verse 29, and Paul said, here it is, guys. I really want you to see this. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds. I'm prison number 155537128. Yet that man standing before this display, this majesty, this great splendor of Romanus, authority and power. I wish y'all were like me. Forget about these. We've been delivered from the power of darkness through Jesus Christ. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We're sons of God right now. We're righteous. We've been delivered. We've been delivered. You've been delivered. So speak the word boldly without fear. Without fear, because you never know. You could say the smallest little bit of word to someone and it could change the course of history. You never know. And God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. So I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for your great word. Thank you for giving us the sonship rights that we have, Father, those rights, those privileges and abilities. Thank you for our salvation. And thank you, God, for doing so much for us. And thank you, God, for how we're laborers together with you and workers together with you. And how we can see great things holding forth your word. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen.